We were driving back from our southern trip this past Monday. I was looking on the fields, and I saw some of the farmers getting in some of their late crops, the corn and the soybeans and so forth, and thought about how that they labor every year. They work to try to every year get more bushels out of each acre, to try to get an increase from the crops that the seeds that they plant. So I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about a spiritual increase. It's important that the farmers are able to get what they can out of their fields. It's what helps them to keep going. It's their livelihood. But our spiritual walk with the Lord is our livelihood. It is of utmost importance that we be faithful at our post to do what the Lord's will is in our life. So I'd like to begin reading in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Jesus has a little lesson here. He said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." I guess man, all down through time, kind of got lifted up and exalted in himself, always wondering how great he was. The Lord has a lesson for us here this morning. And that is that no man can be successful in pleasing God without humility. Doesn't matter what you acclaim to in your walk in life. It doesn't matter what you've been able to lay up and store as far as things. But if you and I are going to please the Lord, we must be humble and stay humble in our walk before the Lord. And it's got to come. It's not just a will humility, a will worship, but it's got to come from deep within the heart. You know, it's all about the heart today. That's what Christ came for, to take away the superficial things, the elements of the worldly things, and to make the condition of my heart the basis for the salvation of my soul through Jesus Christ. The greatest is the one, if you can think of it this way, is the one that's willing to forgive the most. The one that is able to, every one of us, he went on down to say it, but we're not going to take time to read it. He talked about offenses coming. And every one of us have been offended, have been hurt, been troubled by something or someone down in our experience of life. But folks, he told us, he said, if any man, except you be converted and become as little children. Conversion is a turning of your whole life and your person towards God. When you get saved, it's a turning around and it's going a different direction with your life. And Jesus said, use the word converted, except you be converted. To be successful for the Lord is far more than just mental or intellectual acknowledgement of the truth. It's much more than just mental and intellectual saying, well, I've heard about Jesus and I believe Him and I accept Him. It's much more than that. It's far more than the mental or intellectual acknowledgement of truth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. So it's a born again thing. And that's what he's telling here then the disciples, to become as a little child. To begin, you know, the Lord told me, woke me up in the middle of the night several months ago and said, let's get back to the basics. Back to the basics, folks, means that let's remember who we are. Let's remember where we came from. Let's remember what we're made up of. And let's remember that he that thinketh that, how does that scripture say that about he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We're all susceptible to failure. We're all susceptible to falling. But Jesus told us if we could get a hold of the concept of being a little child, that we could be born again. We're not going to be born into our mother's womb, but we're born again by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's more, as I said, it's more than just a mental thought. It's more than just my intellectual mind acting upon that. But it's something that has to happen deep down within my heart. Humility. To be born again means to have the character, or to be characterized by faith and humility. The basic of every one of us that is following God today is our fellowship that is established in Jesus Christ. So, in order for that to happen, there must be a humbling of the creature to handle our offenses. Jesus went on down to read to say here, and I want to just read a little bit of it. He said in verse 8, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now, sometimes people that are unlearned don't seem to know any better, kind of take this thing as a literal thing. But he's not talking about literal here. He's not talking about cutting off hands or cutting off feet or plucking out eyes literally. He wants you and I to recognize the source of our temptations in life. The source of our temptations. It might be my hands. It might be me doing things with my hands that I shouldn't be. It might be me looking at things that I ought not to be looking at. He wants us to recognize the source of the temptation. He wants you and I to get back to the place where we become as little children that when the offenses come, when the hurts come, when we deal with our trials and our temptations in life, that we can handle them as little children. Remember, Paul said, in malice be ye children. Children have a way that if they've been hurt or something comes against them, in just a little short time, they go on their way and start playing again and forget all about it. The Lord wants you and I to handle offenses that way. He wants you and I to understand that the eye is not the source of sin. The hands and the feet, that's not the source of sin. It's what's in the heart of a man, isn't it? The abundance of the heart, the things that come out of the heart, that's the source of sin. And so today Jesus is teaching here that a man must bring the passions of his heart under the control of the Spirit of God. In order for us to deal with offenses and hurts in life, and you and I continually striving to stay in the place where God can work with our humanity, we must stay humble and lowly in His presence as we come to Him and seek Him and search out His will and His place for each and every one of us in our lives. And He does have a will for each and every one of us. But you know, we can't please Him unless we know what it takes to please Him. We can get an idea in our mind and a thought in our mind what it may take. But we can't please Him without our knowing what really pleases Him. And He's very specific of what He requires from each and every one of us. But I want us to go on with the thought here this morning of the increase that He has for each and every one of us here this morning. He wants us to stay as little children in our mindset, in the way that we handle our offenses and the way that we handle our hurts. But He also wants us to grow and develop, mature, and increase as Christians, doesn't He? Because He has a purpose in that, and that is to use us to glorify Him. We'll get to that a little bit. Over in Colossians, the book of Colossians, the first chapter, Brother Rick has been very extensive in kind of studying this, but I want to look at what he says here in Colossians 1 and verses 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's prayer here and his desire was that we would know what pleases God, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If we really want to know what it's going to take for us to please the Lord, we must read His Word. It's really kind of simple, isn't it? We must read His Word. We must have our minds and our hearts open to the Holy Spirit as He comes and He begins to increase that in our minds and in our thoughts. We've got to read the Word if we want to understand who God is and what God is. We are strengthened for performing our duty and to meet the temptations that we bear in this life when we read the Word of God. So may the Lord help us here today. Paul said that you might walk worthy. I know that it's important, folks, that we walk worthy of the Lord. We are to come to an understanding. The Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to get a hold of some things here, that the storms and the lie of life and the test of our faith will produce a desired fruit that God desires in each and every one of us if we choose to cultivate it. If we choose to cultivate it. Those farmers out there work hard to try to get every produce they can out of every acre in order to bring in more money to help their livelihood and help them to survive. You know, when the Lord, when we cultivate what God is doing with us and what He wants to do with us, He will take those things and He will fill us up, and eventually He will squeeze us out. Because it's not meant for you and I. The blessings of the Lord isn't meant for just you and I to hold on to. But He wants to use each and every one of us, squeeze out the things that we have increased in, the things that we have taken in our life, and He wants to squeeze that out that others can be blessed, that His work can go on and prosper in the world. Now He said here, not that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom, to put it in simple terms, is the right application of knowledge. We cannot ourselves apply the knowledge of God without the Spirit of God. I was praying the other day and I said, Lord, I thank You for the Word and I ask You for a greater infilling of Your Spirit, that You would reveal the Word to me, that I could have greater understanding, have a deeper walk with You, that I can be more successful in all of my trials and my tests when others are looking on, and when You want to use me to glorify You, and You want to develop me. Lord, help me to understand these things. Help me to increase in my spiritual walk with God. Help me to have more power, more faith, that I might be able to glorify You in everything that I do in my walk with God. You know, He wants to do that. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take every one of us walking humbly. Walking humbly with our God. Oh, He has the grace for us. He has the wisdom for us. He has the understanding for us. And He has the ability to give you and I just exactly what we need, when we need it, and when we're going through the fire, when we're going through the trial. But you and I, and I want to stress this morning, you and I must search out the Word. The Bible tells us to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must search it out in our own hearts and in our own lives. Because if you really want to know how to be successful, if you really want to know how to increase in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, read the Word, pray, and search the Scriptures, and allow the Holy Spirit to reopen it up to you in your heart and life. I want to turn to Philippians here and deal with what Paul is saying. I think this is very important as far as humility is concerned. There's no other better example in the Word of God than Jesus Christ. And He surely was an example in everything for you and I. When you have a need to know, when we need to know, God will help us to know and He'll help us to understand. But He sent His Son to come into our heart and to come into our life. And He sent His Son to be the example. The Bible says He's the first fruits. So we look at Jesus here this morning, and I want us to consider the second chapter of Philippians and Paul speaking here in verse 5. He said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient." How did He humble Himself? By becoming obedient to the will of the Father, unto death, even the death of the cross, or all the way down to His crucifixion. "Wherefore God also hath high exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Now I'm convinced in my own mind this morning that if I will do the will of God, if I will humble myself like Christ did and find myself in a place of seeking Him for grace and for mercy and for understanding and for wisdom and all those kind of things, that God will increase in my own life. God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name. God gave Him an increase because He humbled Himself and He went to the cross. He was willing to be crucified. Although He was God in the flesh, He became a servant for you and I. Oh, folks, I tell you, when you talk about humility, it don't get any greater than that to think that Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, humbled Himself and became obedient to what His mission was. That's what He came to the earth for. He came here not to condemn man, but that the world through Him might be saved. And He had to humble Himself. He saw the death of the cross. He saw the crucifixion before Him. He understood what it was going to take. He understood what it really meant as a man. He never gave up that He was God, but as a man and in the flesh. He understood. He began to understand what it was going to mean that He was going to have to do to Himself. And folks, He humbled Himself and He became obedient. But yet He still maintained His heavenly existence. He still maintained who He was. But you know what He did? He regarded the nature of fallen man more important than Himself. I want the Lord to help me to get something out here this morning. He voluntarily submitted Himself to the will of the Father. Voluntarily submitted Himself. Voluntarily humbled Himself. Now, it wasn't easy. When we read about him in the garden and how he went and prayed three times and the sweat become as drops of blood, I'm not saying that it's easy. Folks, there's some things that God is going to require of you and I. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. But I want to tell you that if there's a humbling of the creature, if I'm willing to submit to the will of God and be obedient to what God wants me to do, folks, He is going, the Bible said He will exalt us in due time, doesn't it? If I am willing to humble myself and take the attitude of humility that Christ took when He went to the cross, what did He do? He had to get self out of the way, didn't he? He had to get himself out of the way. He had to get his flesh out of the way. Folks, do you notice something in the story of the cross? Do you notice something when Jesus humbled himself? He, even though that he was God in the flesh, and yet he humbled himself. You know what happened when Jesus humbled himself? Folks, faith came in. Faith came in. When I humble myself and I get self out of the way, then I can now have faith in God. Now I can believe His Word. I can believe everything that He, every precept, everything that He has given me to be able to live in a way that would please and glorify Him here in this world. But I gotta get something out of the way first. I gotta get flesh out of the way. I gotta get self out of the way. I thought of the song that's in our little black book here. The writer said, "Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee." In a way that doesn't even make sense. But folks, it's when I lose self and begin to find my life in Christ. When I realize I'm here for His purpose, when I realize I'm really here to glorify Him, folks, I can see my way through now to have faith in God, complete faith, to trust Him for whatever it is that He permits to come my way. But I've got to get self out of the way first. And that's what Jesus did. He humbled Himself. Before He went to that cross to die for you and I, He made of Himself no reputation. Folks, if there's anybody on earth that ever had a reason for a reputation, it was the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I came down from heaven for you people. He made of Himself no reputation and took on Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. But He showed me something. He showed me something when He voluntarily submitted to His Father. "Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain. My friends, see only Thee." You know, I'm convinced. In all the years that I've endeavored to live for the Lord, I'm convinced it's going to take my entire life to get there, folks. It's going to take my entire life to get this old self out of the way. Self wants to complain. Self wants to be satisfied. Self wants everything just to be perfect. Folks, things weren't perfect for Jesus. He came into His own and His own received Him not. He was oppressed of men. He was denied by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm convinced that things are not going to be just the way I want them to be. Sometimes people get the idea if everybody else would just do things the way that I want them to do, I could live saved. But everybody ain't going to do that. Everybody's got their own mind, they got their own thoughts, they got their own personalities, their own characters, and they have their own will and they make their own choices, don't they? So it's not going to happen that way. So what do I got to do? My problem, if I'm having problems, is right here. It's me. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But if my desire is that I would can get to the place where there can be a spiritual increase, where I can have more of Christ, more of His life within me, more of His desire, more of His purpose, if I can get to that place where I can have more of that, it's going to take the destroying of this old creature. Got to destroy it. Got to bring it under, Paul said. got to die daily. And I believe it is a daily thing. Jesus humbled Himself, folks. He became obedient to the Father. And I want to be obedient to the Father. But I believe that, and the Lord showed me this in this little lesson that He has given me this morning. I never really saw it this way before exactly. But it's only when self has been humbled that great faith can take hold. When self is out of the way, I can believe, I can trust. I can put my all in all on Him. I can go to the cross just like He did. Take up my cross and I can follow Him. But the Lord told us before we can do that, we've got to deny ourselves, didn't He? Folks, the Bible, the Scriptures are, the New Testament Scriptures are full of messages that you and I have got to die to this old creature. We've got to die to this old self. When self has been humbled, when I realize I'm just a servant. Jesus humbled Himself and became a servant. If Jesus did that, Lord, help us this morning to be able to humble ourselves. But we get so lifted up sometimes. Sometimes people think there's something special or there's somebody. Folks, Jesus showed us the way. He showed us what it was going to take to go to the cross. There had to be a humbling of the creature in order for that to happen. And Jesus was willing to do that. Even when He found Himself in the likeness of men. I want to give you another example of this. Jesus being the greatest. But I want to read something that Paul said here in the 20th chapter of Acts. Acts 20 and I think 24. No, Acts 20 and 22. Paul was telling them there that he was going to leave them. And he said, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit." Folks, that's the secret of our success. Spirit, where do you want to lead me? Where do you want me to go? But the Spirit cannot do that as long as self is standing in the way. "Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. But oh, I gotta know." Now let's be honest with ourselves, folks. We gotta know. We want to know what's going to happen. If I do this, what's going to happen? If I go over there and do that, how's that going to turn out? We gotta know those things. But Paul was bound in the Spirit. I want you to see where Paul had to get flesh out of the way in order for him to please God, in order for God to get an increase out of Paul's life to be able to go out and do the work that Paul did and be successful as Paul was. He had to die out to self. I go bound in the Spirit. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I'm going. And I'm going bound in the Spirit. "Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." You know, after he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and the Lord, was it Ananias? The Lord sent to him to pray for him. He told Ananias, "I've shown Paul the things that he must suffer for my sake and for the gospel's sake." Oh, Lord, I don't want any part of this. I don't want to suffer. I want life to be cheery and rosy. I want everything to be just great the way that I want it to be. But there had to be a dying of the creature, folks. There had to be a willingness for me to die. Paul had to die to self. You know what he did before? He went around and thought he was doing the will of God and putting people in jail and persecuting the church. But there had to be a death of the creature. And Paul was there. And he said, but in verse 24, "None of these things move me. I'm not moved by those things. Those things, I'm bound in the Spirit. It doesn't matter what I have to face." I think he knew that he was going to be put to death. I believe God witnessed those things to him. I believe he knew that Rome was his, when he got to Rome, it was his last ministry there. I believe he knew those things. He said, "I don't know what I'm going to face before I get there. But," he said, "none of these things move me. But you know how easily that we're moved today. You know how easily we're moved. Oh man, if that's what I got to do, I'm not going to do it. If that's what I got to do to get greater joy, if that's what I got to do to get greater peace, if that's what I got to do to have greater faith, I'm not willing to do that. But Paul said, none of these things move me. In other words, it don't sway me in any way. It doesn't change what the Holy Spirit has witnessed to my heart in any way. Folks, are you willing this morning? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? To do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to humble yourself and put that creature down that we have to live with here? This old flesh that we have to battle and fight every day. Are you willing to do what it's going to take to overcome? Paul said, these things don't move me. Jesus humbled himself even unto death. The crucifixion of the cross. Folks, think about that. Could we humble ourselves today if we knew that we were going out tomorrow to face that cross? We're going to face some crosses. Everywhere I go, had a dear sister come up to me down in South Carolina, like to broke my heart. Said, Brother Abbott says, I want you to pray for my son. He's a drunkard. He's lost his job. He's done this. He's done that. And I said, I just looked at her. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, here's another mother with a broken heart. How many broken hearts? How much sadness in our world today? How much distress that people are facing? All the unknowns and all the things that we do know that we have to deal with. It brings a lot upon people, doesn't it? It brings a lot. May the Lord help us. He said here, none of these things move me. Can we say that this morning? I want you to pray for me that I can say that. It doesn't matter, Lord, what it is you want me to go through. It doesn't matter what I got to sacrifice. It doesn't matter, Lord, if I live today or die today. That's really what it comes down to. Because he went on to say, neither count I my life dear unto myself. There's the rub, saints. There's the rub. There's where it becomes so difficult because we count our lives pretty dear. And I understand that. I enjoy life. We all enjoy life. We want to live. But you know, I've got to have a vision in my mind. And I've got to have it settled in my heart that living forever with God in eternity is more important than living here another day. Yes. Living with God forever. Knowing you're safe. Knowing that you've been clutched out of the hands of the enemy and he can never deal with you again. Folks, that's the living that I want. Eternal living. Eternal life. None of these things move me. I know there's, because the Spirit said that things are going to happen to me there. The Holy Ghost witnessed in every sitting that bonds and afflictions abide me. You want to take that trip? Paul was willing to take the trip. And he knew it before he took the trip. Are you ready to take the trip, folks? Folks, I believe. Seems like the Lord is showing me more and more, dealing with me more and more. That consecration that I have, it's got to be a deep consecration. It's got to be a submitting to this creature, submitting to God, this creature, and everything about Him. It's got to be a consecration to where when the enemy comes along, And he faces me in my trials and my tests and the hardest and most difficult time when my patience wears thin. It's got to be a consecration that the enemy can't find anything in there to trouble me, to destroy me, and to bring me down. It's got to be a consecration that I can overcome when bonds and afflictions abide me. That's the kind of consecration Paul had. I want that kind of consecration. Am I telling you I'm there yet? No. But I'm like Paul. I may not have apprehended it all, but I'm still apprehending. I'm still fighting the fight. And that is my heart's desire. I just told you what my heart's real desire is this morning, is to get to that place where I can truly say, Lord, neither count I my life dear unto myself, because I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Folks, you have a ministry. We all have a ministry. When we get filled up with the increase, the Lord will squeeze us out. And it won't be comfortable. Brother Isaac Chandler said years ago, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But he said enduring is not always a shouting time. It's not always a happy time. And as I see and talk to our people, and people come up to me and lay burdens here and burdens there and everywhere else, folks, I see that enduring is getting harder and harder all the time. I see the burdens that are piling up. People being overwhelmed with the things that they have to face in this life. Brother John and I had lunch with a brother down in Holly Hill. And I said, you know, brother, I said, you've lost a wife and two sons, haven't you, in your life? And he just looked up and he went like that. I said, I'd forgotten about the third one. He lost three sons and a wife. So I'm going to sit there and say, well, brother, I know how you feel, because I sure don't know how he feels. And I don't want to know how he feels as far as my personal life is concerned. But folks, I want to tell you, people are facing some hard things. Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit. Folks, it's time for us to be bound in the Spirit. It's time to open up my heart and say, my heart says amen to your will, Lord. It's time for me to get down before God. And I say this a lot, I know, but when you get done praying for yourself and all of your family and blessing this and that and the other, folks, we need to pray for our souls. We need to pray for a closer walk with God. Folks, we need to pray for something that will sustain us as we face the things that are coming down the pike as long as we live here in this world. Because we're going to face some things greater than what we're facing today. We're going to need the grace of God to do it. Paul had the grace of God here, you know it? He had the grace of God because he humbled himself. None of these things move me. Well, I'd like to say, be able to say that some of the things that come my way, they don't move me, but they kind of stir you a little bit, don't they? They kind of stir you a little bit. I fully believe that God's plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, has made available for you and I everything that we need to be successful. But it's going to take you and I to have a desire to increase. The Spirit and the grace of God will bring the increase, but you and I are going to have the desire, the wisdom, the understanding that we read over there in Colossians, to know how to seek after it, to know what His will is. Paul knew what God's will was. He knew what he was going to face. And he wanted to face it. He said, with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, as I come down to the end of my journey, I don't want to bring a reproach upon what I've been preaching and teaching, Paul says. I don't want to bring a reproach upon the cause of God. I don't want to bring a reproach of the power that God can work in a person's heart and a person's life. I don't want to bring a reproach on that. I want to finish this with victory. I want the gospel of Christ to be lifted up and exalted. That's what Paul's telling us here. I want to do this thing right. I'm sure we all want to do it right today. Paul had it right. It was his will to do God's will. And I believe that Paul, now Paul was just a man like us, but I believe when he got this right, When he got it settled in his heart, he got a hold of it. I believe it was his faith. His faith that was able to take him through all the dangers that he encountered. It was his faith in God. His faith and his trust, because he got self crucified. And he got self out of the way. Oh folks, I tell you sometimes I think, Lord, how much more do you have here? How much more do we need to understand? How much more that I need to know? When I find out I know so little. I find out I know so little. And I want to know more about the Lord and what He has for me to be successful in my walk of life. Could I read you one more scripture before we sit down? Found in Ephesians, third chapter. Paul was praying here. And he says that he would grant you. Let's pray for one another. Sometimes we get so selfish, it's all about us. And we need to pray for ourselves. But let's pray for one another. My brethren, that's man and woman, they're facing hard and difficult places in life. They're facing real challenges. Whether it be family, whether it be affliction, whether it be jobs, whatever it might be in life, they're facing some hard and difficult things. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for one another. Paul prayed. He said in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Don't you want some more strength? I want some more strength, folks. I want to be successful for the Lord. And my success depends on God's divine enablement. My success depends on Him. You and I ought to possess the life, the character, and the virtues of God Himself, and that they would be fully developed in us. Then we can live the kind of life that God desires. That Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. Oh, I'm still learning. There's so much to learn, so much I want to know and understand. I don't know all the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the heights yet. I've experienced some of it, but I want more. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, just a little bit of Him. Some people are satisfied with. I want more. I want more. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, folks, sometimes I feel like that my little mind is not able to comprehend what I need to comprehend to get all the fullness of God. Paul prayed that we would have all the fullness. All the fullness of God. That's overwhelming to me, in my mind, and the way that I look at it. But he went on to say unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. You know, there's people struggling in life, and I know that. They struggle with a lot of things. The devil, let's just speak about him for just a minute in closing. The devil wants you to blame God for all your unhappiness. God, it's all your fault. What did Mary and Martha say? Lord, if you'd have been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. And that's the way God deals with people sometimes. Be careful with your thoughts. Because they can lead you many times in the wrong direction. Be careful with your thoughts. You know, I heard something, if I could just pass this along, since it's fairly fresh in my mind. I heard someone talking about they did a little experiment. They had two people on a boat. And they were both going to put on the scuba gear and get in the water. And they were going to swim around in the water for a while and then get back on the boat. Before they did that, the night before they did that, they said they took one of the people and they set him in front of a television or a movie and he watched the movie Jaws. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. I saw it many, many years ago before I got saved. He watched the movie Jaws about this shark attacks. The other fellow, they put him in front of a TV and he watched the family show Flipper about the porpoise or the dolphin that just liked to play with everybody, you know, in the water and all that. One of them watched Jaws, the other one watched Flipper. I want to get to something here. And the next day they jumped out of the boat, went down there and did their swimming around. And the one that had watched Jaws, he was scared to death. He wanted to get out of that water right away. He's looking everywhere, expecting a shark to show up. The power suggests him, huh? The power, what does the enemy suggest to us? Oh, God, God, you did this. That's what he did with Eve. He suggested that God is so cruel that you can eat of every tree in here except that one. The other fellow that had watched Flipper said he was down there just having a good old time playing around with the fish that were coming up. And wasn't no fear at all. Fear is what the devil uses to strike the heart of a man. It's my perception of what I'm going through. It's my perception of what I'm dealing with. Careful what you read. Careful what you allow, where you allow your mind to wander, because the enemy will take advantage of that. He'll take advantage of it and he'll bring fear. And he'll try to control you with fear. You know, the enemy does other things. He's got a lot of things. If you've had a lot of disappointments in life, things just haven't went the way you was hoping that they would go, he'll come and sow a seed of bitterness and resentment in your heart towards God or to your fellow man. The devil will do that. Careful of your thoughts, folks. It'll give you the wrong perception of who God is and what God wants to do for you and I. You see, the devil is always looking for a way to bring a rift between you and God, saved or otherwise. He wants to bring a rift between you and God. He wants you to start looking at God a little different way. That's what he did with Eve. He got her too. He got her. Jesus said the thief comes to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you're saved today, or if you're not saved today, the devil wants to destroy you. It doesn't matter who you are. He wants to destroy us. And that's why the Lord sometimes gives these little thoughts and messages to help us to realize where we really need to be with the Lord. Where we need to be with our consecration. That we'll be able to stand when the enemy comes. Because he's coming. You can count on that. As long as you're breathing, he's coming. Brother Isaac Chandler said, he that endureth to the end, he says, that means till you take your last breath. That's what he said. Enduring to the end. You know, we can choose. Some people let others choose their thoughts for them. We can choose our own thoughts. We can choose to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and put our very heart in it. Put your very heart in it. You can choose your own thoughts. Don't let others choose your thoughts. Don't let the enemy choose your thoughts. My thought is, I love you, Lord. And I know you love me. And you know what is best for my life. How many of us believe that this morning? He knows what's best. for my life. If we believe it, let's take our hands off of it and let Him do it. Let Him do it, folks. Be encouraged. Do whatever it takes in your own life to draw closer to the Lord. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. I believe that's the secret of success. It's the secret of successful life, spiritual life, in living for the Lord, is losing self. Once I lose self, faith can kick in. Because I don't count my life dear unto myself. It's not about me. As I've said so many times, it's about a blood-soaked Savior that hung on a cross, came here, left His glory, and came here and died because we were lost. I appreciate God's love and mercies to me. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Amen.